Thanks, Eileen. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Thanks very much. Good afternoon on this Tuesday afternoon. How are you? 51551 for your text. You can send us emails to ray@rte.ie. And you will need that email address if you want to find out more about the census. Census 2022, April 3rd, which is next Sunday week, isn't it? Yeah. We'll be joined later on by Eileen Murphy, who's head of Census Administration. So if you have any questions for Eileen, get them into us now, ray@rte.ie. We're particularly interested in a new feature in the census this year. They're calling it a time capsule. And I'm just looking at it here as it appears on the census form. And it reads, information you provide in this time capsule is optional and is collected voluntarily under Section 24 of the Statistics Act. This content is protected by the same confidentiality protections as all your census data for 100 years. Now, this is the interesting part. After 100 years, this time capsule will be made available to the public. This space is for handwritten messages only. Photographs or other attachments will be removed and cannot be returned. And I'm wondering, what were they thinking when they included that in the census form? So we'll be asking Eileen that question. And then they got on to me, would you not fill that in, Ray, as you're going to fill it in and see how you get on? And it's a difficult thing to do. What do you say? I don't know. This is the first draft. Like, this isn't it. This isn't it, because it's rubbish. But this is what I wrote this morning because they asked me to. So you have a window. It's probably half an A4 page. And you have to handwrite it, you can't type it. And as it says, you can't put attachments or photographs, but you can draw on it, which I didn't do because I can't draw. So this is this thing, time capsule. You don't have to fill this in, but it's an option. And somebody in 100 years' time will be reading this. Probably somebody related to you, because they'll be looking up the census and they'll be doing a bit of, you know, genealogy, tracing their roots, and they'll come upon this. And this won't be it, but it'll be something like this. You know, hello from April 2022. How are things? You see, that's a reference to Pat Short. They won't get that. You know, they'll say he couldn't spell. He didn't include a H. I'm Ray, age 57, husband to Jenny, age 49, and father to Kate, age 15, and Tom, age 9. But you know that from the attached form. You see, they do. That's the thing. I'm dead. That's a bit of a truism. If you're reading this, you are curious about your ancestors. Well, you can read it all in the book. And if that didn't happen, there's an unfinished manuscript under the floorboards. That's it. That was mine. So I don't know. That's not it. What do you do? What do you say? Do you include some secret that's burning a hole in your head that you want to get off your chest? And then somebody in 100 years will read it and they won't care. I don't know. Anyway, if you have any questions for Eileen, head of Census Administration, ray@rte.ie. And we'd be asking her what they were thinking when they included this time capsule feature in the census and what sort of stuff they want. And she'd probably say to me, I know, whatever. And that's the worst thing ever. You remember back in your English exams, and if you were asked to write an essay on anything, no, please narrow it down. Tell me exactly what you want me to write the essay on. Too much choice is a bad thing. The other thing I want to tell you about is we've Coleman Nocter on today. Coleman's always great. He's a child and adolescent psychotherapist. So if you have any questions for Coleman about parenting issues that you're going through, you might have troublesome teenagers. You might want to know how to communicate about what's going on in Ukraine to the young people in your life. Whatever it is, get them into us as well, ray@rte.ie. And we'll be speaking to Coleman before 4 o'clock today, which is in less than an hour. Don't you love Ireland on this? You've probably seen this already, but Charlie Bird has taken to Twitter to say thank you very much to Unpost, because somebody somewhere in the country addressed a package to Charlie Bird, Walk for Charlie, please deliver to his home address. Thank you, somewhere in Dublin. That was on the... there's a picture of it up on independent.ie. So it says, Charlie Bird, Walk for Charlie, please deliver to his home address. Thank you, somewhere in Dublin. And of course, it got to Charlie. There's only one Charlie Bird. And Charlie took to Twitter and he says, thank you, Unpost. This just arrived for me today. Another example of the hand of friendship. And one person said, it just shows there's only one Charlie Bird. There's only one Charlie Bird. Another wrote, well done to Post person who delivered it. And of course, Charlie is encouraging everybody to join him on Crowpatrick, or climb any sort of a yoke around the country, any sort of a mountain or a hill on April 2nd. That's the day before Census Day, actually. And to raise money for Pieta House and Irish Motor and Neuron Disease Association. That's Charlie. Less important things, I see Kylie Jenner. She's in the news today because about a month ago she announced that she had a baby boy and she named the baby boy Wolf. And that's, you'd expect that from a person of her celebrity status. You know, it's up there with Apple. That was Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin from Coldplay, or Bear, Cheryl Cole and Liam Payne, Bear, North, Saint Sam in Chicago, the Kylie sister Kim and Kanye, they were their kids. And so, you know, Wolf isn't that much out of place. Actually, it's quite a nice name. Anyway, it's emerged that Wolf is no longer the baby's name. So in an Instagram post, Kylie Jenner said, I know you don't care, I don't care either, but it's interesting. Because I'm going to get onto something that's universal because we all have names. For your information, our son's name isn't Wolf anymore. Now, it doesn't say what they've named him. So I can only imagine that after living with the name for a while and looking at the little baby, they decided that Wolf didn't suit him. Did you ever hear that? Have you chosen a name for the child yet? No, we're going to wait till the child is born and see what name suits them. Like, whatever works for you, whatever works for you. But that's what people do. So they've decided that Wolf doesn't suit this child, probably because he's not hairy enough or whatever. Actually, there are people walking around this country called Wolf. Maybe not Wolf, but the Irish version of it, Féilín. If you know a Féilín. Féilín, F-A-O-L-A-F-I-N, that's the Irish for wolf. Now, there's two words for wolf, I think, Mochtíre and Féilín. So that's that. But it is that thing about, we'll live with the child for a while and we'll see what name suits them. They don't look like a wolf. They look more like a John, maybe a Michael. No, Patrick. I think he looks like a Patrick. What do you think, Mary? Does he look like a Patrick? No, he doesn't look like a Patrick to me. Yeah. And of course, you procrastinate, don't you? That's about names. And that's what happens. And on procrastination, and it's something I think as a nation, as a race, we procrastinate a lot. I don't know. It's something in our nature. Why make a decision today when you can make it tomorrow? That's it, isn't it? Well, now psychologists have looked into procrastinating and how to get around it. And they say that you should do it for 3 minutes. So if you're going, I don't think I'll do it, just decide to do it. Give it 3 minutes and that'll pull you in and you'll do it. According to Jennifer Wilde of Oxford University, they say that this will snap you out of an avoidance mindset and encourage you to crack on with the task in hand. If after 3 minutes you're still struggling to do it and you don't want to do it, you can walk away knowing you gave it a decent attempt. So 3 minutes, there you go. If you're a procrastinator and you find it difficult to decide and apply yourself to a task, give it 3 minutes. And you're saying to me, I know what you're saying to me. You're going, I'll think about it, Ray. I'll see if I'll do that. Procrastinate. You'd be like your man. This is great. This guy is obviously a procrastinator. A lady called Hannah Jung has tweeted. She says, for all the people that think they are bad at responding to emails, I emailed a professor 12 years ago asking about recommendations for a paper I was writing for a class during my undergrad. He replied to my email today. So 12 years it took him to get back to her. There's a procrastinator, king of the procrastinators. 12 years. I wonder how that happened. Maybe he's living in some sort of parallel universe. Did you see that? Yeah, they're talking about the anti-universe now. The anti-universe, spotted in the papers today. So a new theory suggests that there may be an anti-universe next to ours where things run backwards in time before the Big Bang. So it's a mirror image of us. So in a journal called The Annals of Physics, they say that in nature, there are three fundamental symmetries, charge, parity and time. They call it CPT symmetry. You still with me? And they're saying because there is symmetry in nature, that maybe there is a symmetrical process going on with us, with life, with being. But it's going in reverse. Now, I know you might be a fan of Back to the Future and what's the name? The Time Traveller's Wife. I like a bit of time travel myself. The Adam Project is the latest one with Ryan Reynolds. But this has done my head in. So I drew a picture. So if you imagine the Big Bang in the middle, and then you have two triangles emanating from that, you know, the apex of each triangle touching each other. So we're out, coming out, going out to the right. And that's us emanating from the Big Bang and everything that's happened since then. And then in reverse, it's going the other way. So you're getting older or younger, or that's going to mess with your head, isn't it? An anti-universe. Yeah. 515-51 ray@rte.ie. Now, we're in Studio 6 and I'm looking at the type. It's very big here. I don't even need my glasses. No, I'll have a go at it. Time capsule. I'm going to include a poem I've written for my grandchildren, says Bridget. That's a nice thing to do. Ray, I have a major story from my life, a 25-year love story, which no one knows about. If I include this, plus the name of the person, is this guaranteed private for 100 years? I would be nervous about including this information. Of course it is. It's guaranteed confidentiality. And why would you do that? I'm wondering, will you let me know why you would do it and what effect it would have on you? I'm interested in knowing that. I run a restaurant for the last 31 years and there is one recipe that my customers love. The recipe is called mushroom, is it crustades? And I'm going to include the recipe in the time capsule. Nice one, Anne. And there's questions coming in, loads of questions coming in for Eileen about the census. Wolf, Lottie Ryan's son is called Wolf. Confirmed. There you go, it is. So maybe that's what... Kylie Jenner found that out and she thought, no, it's too common that Lottie Ryan has called her son Wolf, so it's far too common. We're going to change our son's name. We will tell you about the quiz in a moment. 515-51 ray@rte.ie. But first, a bit of this. Oh, this always reminds me of spring and sunshine and blue skies. Someone Somewhere. Good afternoon. Picture House and Somebody Somewhere. That's a lovely tune. 515-51 ray@rte.ie. I'm doing genealogy research on my Irish ancestors. Grateful for the census info they left behind in 1901 and 1911. Those census documents. I wished they told me a little on the census about their houses, what it looked like, the kind of furniture they had, etc., says Vincent. Interesting. And Eve has offered to teach me how to draw. I'm a professional artist, just qualified with my MA in fine art. And before the pandemic, I taught children and adults with great success and fun had by all. Quick results, no study, says Eve. I may take you up on that. And then somebody else on the time capsule. I will write about the war in Ukraine and all the very unfortunate refugees flocking into Ireland and how I'm so worried about the future of my very young grandchildren. That's it. Thanks, says Cathy. And I'm going to make a time capsule and bury it in my garden with a map showing its location on the census form, says Eddie in Loud. And on procrastination, I'm a terrible procrastinator. It causes huge stress in my work and personal life. I would love to know how to deal with and overcome it. I've read that before, a variation on that 3-minute thing. You see, what we do is we crowd ourselves with the small things and then it becomes overwhelming and we do nothing. So I read, and this is a variation, as I say, that if you can do something within 5 minutes, do it there and then. So if you get an email and it demands a response that only takes a couple of minutes to write, do it there and then. Don't put it on the long finger. Don't say you'll do it tomorrow. Because it's the small things, they pile up. They pile up and before you know it, you're overwhelmed by all these little things and then you can't do the little things or the big things. And that's just what I read in a book one time, long time ago. Now, let's tell you about our quiz. Here we go, this one. Yep. Reel in the Ears, looking for two people to come on and answer 3 questions each on bits of songs, news reports, TV shows and movies. So you get 3 clips each and you can go for a long clip or a short clip and the short clip will get you 2 points, the long clip 1 point, whoever has the most points gets the prize and the prize is a good one. Our lucky winner this week, will get to explore the magic and charm of County Donegal with a 2-night stay at Harvey's Point, nestled between the stunning Bluestack Mountains and the picturesque Loch Esk. You and your guest will enjoy a delicious full Irish breakfast each morning and a 4-course dinner inspired by the finest seasonal ingredients on one evening in the beautiful lakeside restaurant at Harvey's Point. Whether you're going to explore the Wild Atlantic Way up there in Donegal or whether you want to switch off, unwind and relax in style, it's a perfect place to do as much or as little as you want to do. Harveyspoint.com. So, if you want to be involved, looking for 2 people after 4 o'clock, here is your qualifying question. The Dancing with the Stars final will take place this Sunday. But who is the host? Well, the host and also a member of Westlife. So that narrows it down to just one person. So who's the host and also a member of Westlife? 0818715925. The host of Dancing with the Stars, also a member of Westlife. 0818715925. And good luck with that.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Right, Sunday, April 3rd, which is Sunday week, 2 weeks from last Sunday, is Census Night. And the Central Statistics Office, the CSO, want everyone in Ireland to prepare for Census Night. And to tell us about it, I'm joined now by Eileen Murphy, Head of Census Administration. Good afternoon, Eileen.
Hello,
Ben. You don't just want them to do it. People have to do it, don't they?
Yeah, it's they are mandatory. Required to do, yes, but yes. Most people enjoy filling in their census forms and they can't wait for it to come around so they can fill it in. I think it is an occasion in everyone's life, and it is one of those unique occasions where everybody in the country will be doing the same thing at the same time.
Yes, yeah. And it was supposed to be 2021 every 5 years, because the last one was 2016.
That's right.
But now we're in 2022, so it's going to be a 6 year. Will that affect it in any way, that's a 6 year gap since the last one? No.
In between census, we do an approximation of where the things are. So we've just carried on the 2016 for an extra year. When we get the data from this one, then we'll be back on track.
And when I say it is mandatory, because I'm just reading the beginning of it, you are obliged by law to complete and return this form. Any person who fails or refuses to provide this information or who knowingly provides false information may be subject to a fine of up to €44,440. It's sort of a random enough figure, isn't it?
That's set out in legislation generally for under the Statistics Act, for all the statistics that the Central Statistics Office collects. But as we say, in most cases, people are quite happy to fill in their census forms.
Yes.
And we would always encourage them and work with them to get them filled in.
So it must be very exciting in your office at the moment, is it? It's like it's all Christmas come
busy.
One time.
Exactly. We're going to have up to 200 people in our office in Swords working on the whole of the census operation. But we also have 5,500 people out all around the country in every corner delivering census forms. So we recruited a field force of over 5,000 enumerators, and they're busy calling to all the houses in the country to deliver the census forms.
Is that whistle coming from my headphones or whose headphones? Sorry, there's just a bit of both your headphones, right? Where's those headphones? Mine. It's mine. Okay, I'll turn it down. Okay, radio. Okay, sorry about that. That's we're in a different studio today, so there's a whistle coming. I just want to get rid of it. I think it's gone now. It's gone. Sorry. So you've 5,000 enumerators all over the country.
Yes. They've already delivered about 1.2 million forms.
Yes.
But don't worry if you haven't got your form yet. They will be delivering all the way up to Census Day. So there's just under 2 weeks left. So they will be calling to all the other houses between now and Census Night to deliver the forms.
And they have a number of ways of telling you that they've called round, don't they? They put a thing through the letterbox.
Yeah. Well, they hope to get you if they can the first time, but if not, they'll leave a calling card with a contact number that you can contact them and see what the best time is to meet up and get it. And if you have any queries, we do have a help desk on our census.ie website and a helpline number 0818 2022 04.
Okay, 2022. Say that again.
0818 2022 04.
Okay. So does the enumerator have to actually meet you to give you the form?
We do try to get them to meet you because they can answer any questions on the door if you have any questions. And they do take a little bit of information at the door, some basic information that will help us with our preliminary count, which we hope to have out towards the end of June.
Yeah.
Just more likely to get it back if we make that contact. But if they don't get you, they will try different times of the day, different days of the week, etc., etc. But if it's getting close to census night and they haven't got you, they'll post something in the letterbox with instructions as to what to do.
Okay. Now, why do we do the census every 5 or 6 years?
It's just really important for it gives us a complete picture of all the social and living conditions in the country at a particular point in time. And it's used for planning all our vital public services like hospitals, like schools, like transport, like housing. You know, so it's used at that government level. But the great thing about the census is we get information right down to local, county, community level. So it's used for regional planning. It's used by businesses to decide where to locate. But equally, for everyone that wants to, they can go onto the Central Statistics Office website and find out information about their local area.
Yes.
And if they want a playground or a sports facilities, they can petition and say, look, we have X number of children under 12 in our area and there's no facilities for them, you know, and try and get services.
Yeah. So for example, I'm involved in something in County Kildare. So they will know after the census how many people between the ages of 20 and 30 there are in the county. And they will sort of, they'll gear their sporting facilities for that number, or
they
whatever.
They use that as the basis of all their decisions.
Right, okay. Now, after each census, you go to the public and you go, can we do anything better? Did we not ask questions that should be asked? Did we ask questions that shouldn't be asked? So you have a sort of a consultation.
We do.
So what came out of the consultation after 2016 census?
We had over 400 submissions for new questions after 2016. And a census advisory group decided which questions to test in a pilot. And after that, we came up with 8 new questions. So I suppose on the household side, they're on renewable energy sources, because obviously we want to keep up to date. And internet access and devices. And we also added a new question on working from home. And this was before COVID hit. So we didn't know where we were going to be at this stage. But, you know, that's going to be
that's
so interesting to find
now.
How much people are working at home and if they're still at home or if they're back to some sort of blended working. We also have questions on childcare, volunteering. With the changing, shifting patterns of work, we always asked how you got to work and how long it took to get to work. But we're now asking, when do you leave work to come home as well?
Yes. And it's the first time you asked about childcare.
Yes.
Right. And I know this isn't your problem, but we've been talking about childcare in this country forever and how expensive it is and how bad it is compared to other countries. So it'll be interesting to see what the government do with the statistics they get from the census.
This will give a real understanding of what different types of childcare people are using. So if they want to decide where the best it is to invest or what different models to use, they're going to have the data now to make the best decisions.
So they can't run away from it. isn't that the thing though, isn't it?
Yes. Well, we just provide the data.
I'm pains to point that out. Now, there are two new questions on smoking, one on smoke alarms and one on actual smoking.
Yep. So the Department of Health will be interested in smoking, because obviously for planning for health and for maybe for quitting programs or things like that. And the smoke alarms are probably for fire brigade and stuff and safety and security in homes and things, and whether there needs to be further work done there.
So there are the 8 new questions and people will see those. Now, this time capsule, people are knocking a lot of fun out of this. And I was saying that we would try to get the bottom of what you were thinking, as in the CSO, when you included this. So this is a window. I'll get the page now because I have it here in the census on page 23, which allows you to write a message for somebody that might read it in 100 years' time. So what's the thought process behind that?
Well, I suppose initially we did have people contacting us each census and saying, I had something that I'd like to have on my census form and there was no opportunity to put it there. You know, maybe if you lost someone between census and you weren't recording their name for the first time, but you wanted to acknowledge them in some way, or families that are separated on the night and wanted to acknowledge the other part of the family that they weren't with on census night, etc. So we knew we had this little area on the form, and we said, why don't we do a time capsule? And I think it's a world first. We don't know of any other country that's doing it, but it's really caught people's imaginations, and there really is no limit. Your imagination is your only limit of what you want to put in this.
So let's then tease out a little bit the type of people who read the census information in 100 years time. Like we got a text in there from Vincent. So he's doing genealogy on his ancestors. And he was saying there that he would have liked a better description of their living conditions, you know, the type of house, furniture, etc. You know, so
absolutely,
he would be appreciative of that. So mainly it'll be people who are related to us that will be reading it.
Well, it's future generations, so it could very well be your family, but also historians and people who are looking at social history will be a treasure trove for them. This is going to be such an archive of social history of what was happening in Ireland in 2022, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know, because I still don't know what it is, you know, and I think people will get very self-conscious, and probably with that they'll just shy away from it.
This is it. We've all got writer's block when we look at that blank page. So this is why we're telling people about it now and saying, don't leave it till the 3rd of April. Have that conversation with your family, with your housemates, as to what you'd like to put in your
There was a person there, I don't know if it was a man or a woman, who was wondering, would they share with the world in 100 years' time about a love story they're having, a secret love story?
If they'd like to. Nobody's going to see it until 100 years' time. So equally, you mentioned somebody saying they were going to mention about Ukraine and what's happening.
Yes, yes.
You know, because it's not a legal part of the form, if somebody wanted to write a message in Ukrainian, they can write it in that section of the form. So the form itself has to be filled in Irish or English.
Yes.
But we have language guides in 22 different languages for lots of people to tell them what it says on the form so that they can fill it in. But because this isn't a legal part of the form, you can write the message in whatever language you like.
And you can draw a picture, I believe, but you can't attach a picture.
No. So these forms go through high speed scanners. It's a very slick operation out in Swords. We've had to do tours at times of people coming to see how 2.2 million forms come back into our office and get processed. But if there's any attachments or notes or anything stuck to the form, it'll get stuck in the scanner. So we can't allow any.
And in 100 years' time, I'm still fascinated by this. In 100 years' time, when they go to, say, the address, whatever it is, 45, you know, Murphy's Crescent, because they know that their ancestors live there. And they look up this census form from April 3rd, 2022, they will get that, and they'll get whatever was written in that window alongside that.
Yeah, so the forms are saved securely in paper form, but they're also saved digitally. So in whatever way that the National Archives decides that is appropriate in 100 years' time to release the forms,
yes,
they'll be able to see the full form.
Because I said who I was, which is a waste of space, really, because they'll know that from the form. You know, that I'm Ray, I'm age 57. They can tell that from the form, right? So that was a waste of half the window. So, as I said, it's a work in progress. I'll have to go back.
So is this your official form now, or is this testing?
This is me testing.
Okay.
Yeah. I was reading about a writer the other day, and they were saying something like the sixth or seventh draft. So that's only the first draft. That was just to get something down on paper.
Yeah.
For the purposes of the program today, and because you were coming in. So you mentioned there, the situation in Ukraine, and we know now that there are thousands of Ukrainians already here. So they're going to have to be recorded wherever they are on census night. And how will that, you know, that's obviously going to affect the numbers and, in the final product, how will it skew the figures or?
No, not at all. We know that we had already produced language guides in Ukrainian because we already had 4,500 Ukrainians here in 2016. But we're reaching out to the government departments that are dealing with this and making sure we're going to know where people are. If they're in households, they'll just be added to your household form. If you need any extra forms, because you can record up to six people
on that
form.
I'm just wondering, because I went through it a couple of times today, but just now that I think about it, is there anywhere that would suggest that they've just arrived? No.
Yes, so we do ask questions about, where is this where you usually live?
Yes.
And where did you live 1 year ago?
Aha,
and
so that's,
and
that's,
what country?
Okay, yes,
and etc.
So you will be able to, from that, you will know who are Ukrainian refugees.
Absolutely. Yes. And we do a number of counts. So what we call the de facto count is the number of people that were actually in the country on the night of Sunday, the 3rd of April.
Oh, yeah.
But we also do a usually resident count, which is the number of people that are usually resident in the country. So we'll be able to split those two different numbers.
So if people are on a weekend away or whatever, they'll be counted. And then the people who are on holidays here, they'll be discounted for one of them. And of course, didn't we cross a threshold there since 2016 that we've gone over 5 million, which is...
Yes, we think this will be the first census probably
officially,
since the mid-'80s.
So
yes,
official.
So in 2016, we were still at 4.76 million.
Yes.
So anecdotally, in our estimates, we think we are now above 5 million. So this will be the first census, hopefully, that will confirm that. We think since 1851.
Wow.
Just after the famine. So.
Yeah, that's big, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're going to come back to that thing. I'm still intrigued by the time capsule because I'm interested to know what people will include in it. We've had recipes, we've had secret love stories, we've had commentary on Ukraine. I'm wondering what other people might be saying.
But even babies, can you imagine tracing a baby's handprint or writing something about what a baby is? And in 100 years' time, that baby might still be around because we're all living longer.
Yes, we are.
You know, what would you want to know if you were still alive?
And I'd say if you were close to your ancestors, you know, and it's not a given that you are, but if you were fascinated by your ancestry, just seeing their handwriting is an amazing thing.
Yeah, yeah. And that's probably a special thing about this census as well, is it's probably the last time that we're all going to do a paper census form, because next census, right, we will probably have an online option as well. It's not that we'll be getting rid of paper altogether, but we will hope to have
an online option. That's interesting. So, And I suppose there's always people saying what you've left out, you know. Like, I was fascinated to see that you don't ask about pets.
No, actually, that is one thing people say about, and there you go, you can put that in your time capsule, yes, if you want to record.
And the other one was gardens, because there was an awful lot of talk during COVID about gardens, people who had gardens, people who didn't have gardens, people who were lucky enough to have gardens. And there's no question about gardens in the census.
No. We have to balance all that. We get huge, so we had over 400 submissions for new questions, and you have to balance that with, one, not all questions are suitable to be asked in the census. Some could just be asked in a small survey or whatever. But equally, that, you know, to minimise the burden on people as to what they have to fill in as well.
Yes,
you know,
yeah,
so you have to kind of get that
and
balance.
What are the most controversial questions? What are you looking at me like that for? She's giving me the dirty eye there.
Well, there's been some talk around the place about the religion question.
Right.
About the order and the
so
way
I'm just
it's
looking at it here.
Well.
Here's it. It's question 12. And it says, what is your religion, if any?
Yes.
And then one, no religion. Two, yes, Roman Catholic. Three, Church of Ireland. Four, Islam. Five, Orthodox Christian. Six, Presbyterian. And seven, other, right in your religion there. And that's where those messers wrote Jedi Knight, I suppose. I believe there's 2050 in 2016.
Yes.
I'm giving them my days now. But so people were wondering why Roman Catholic wasn't on top and no religion was further down. Was that
in
it?
In 2016, Roman Catholic was at the top.
Aha, and now it's no religion.
Yes, but now, we didn't ask if any either. In 2016. So we, as I say, we had a number of submissions on it and we tested a number of different ways of asking it. And to change it this way didn't have any difference to the responses that we got. So we gave the option of if any and no.
But I'm intrigued about the process then of in 2016 Roman Catholic was at the top. Why did somebody decide to change it? Was that suggested from those 400 people?
Yes, so they came in the order of numbers of people in the country of the different religions.
Yeah, but no religion, surely. There's more Roman Catholics than no religion.
Because the last time it was just, what is your religion?
Yes, yeah.
And now it's, if any. So if any, you mightn't have any. So you might say, well, I don't have a religion,
Just to clarify that, but the majority of people are Roman Catholics, aren't they?
Yes.
They are. So that's, no religion should be below Roman Catholics then, should it?
But the lots of people were asking whether it's to do with your attendance at Mass or what you feel. But this is totally self-declaration. So it's whatever you feel about the subject.
Okay,
and you can tick whichever box is relevant to you.
The other one I've read a bit, there's a bit of controversy about what is your sex? So male, female, no other options.
That's right.
I was looking in America and UK, and that's similar as well, because they distinguish between sex and gender. So they say, like I have it here, I better not misquote, I have the American one here. Mm-hmm. They say that while often used interchangeably, sex and gender are two distinct concepts. Sex is based on biological attributes of male and females, e.g. chromosomes, anatomy and hormones, while gender is a social construction whereby a society or culture assigns certain tendencies or behaviours to the concepts of masculinity and femininity. So they just have male or female on their form as well, similarly in the UK. So what if somebody is non-binary? What happens then? What do they fill in on the form?
Okay, so this question is asking your biological sex, and it is required under an EU regulation, and the only options that they allow are male or female. Now, we recognise how important this topic is to many people in Ireland. And it was equally important to us that when we do introduce a question on these topics, that we ask the right question and provide the right answers. So the Census Advisory Group advised that we test these topics in some of our household surveys, because you want to tease out, get feedback whether questions are working or not. So we have tested that in some of our household and pulse surveys. So these questions were locked down in 2019 and we didn't have time to get it on the form for then. But we do envisage that a question will be piloted for the next census, and allowing for the fact that it has to go through a census advisory group and government.
So can you give us a hint then? Will that question remain as it is and then there'll be another question?
I would think that that would probably be the way it would go.
Okay, so yeah. What is your sex will still be there and then there might be a gender question?
Yes.
And what about sexual orientation? Have you no interest in finding that out? Or?
We're testing both of those.
Testing both of those.
Come as, we'll work on what we on gender identity and sexual orientation together to see how we provide.
Okay, so there could be two extra questions
there could
then.
Be, yeah.
One on gender and one on sexual orientation.
Yeah, we'll have to test them in pilots and then they'll have to go through the process of seeing how we get that to work.
When you're testing them in pilots, what, do people get offended or not fill them in or what? How do you, do you ask them for a comment or what?
We do ask for feedback because you also get pushback from people who say, why are you asking these questions?
Yes.
Isn't it obvious that it's... just one thing or the other.
Uh-huh.
So you have to take that balance between of trying to be as inclusive as possible and make sure that everybody can record what they need to record on the form that reflects them.
Now, we said you're coming in. We're running out of time, but we have questions from people, our listeners. Can you ask Eileen what to do if my enumerator does not call back? I missed him, her, and have tried to contact the number on a few occasions. That's Mary.
Well, the enumerators do try to leave a calling card.
They're
sometimes having issues getting into houses where there's electronic gates or those new post boxes
that have
a key. And so there's nowhere for them to put the calling cards. But they will keep calling back between now and census night. But I'll say if you have any issues getting closer to the time, you can contact census.ie for the help desk or ring the number I gave you earlier, 0818 2022 04.
Great. How is the census form completed on behalf of a householder who normally lives alone and who is in hospital on census night? Helen wants to know.
If they're in hospital on census night, they will be recorded in the
hospital.
In the hospital,
yes.
Yeah.
The Census 22 form asks about energy, cars, vans, transport, but fails to ask what type of fuel we have in our vehicles. The charging infrastructure for electric vehicles was introduced in March 2010 and people have been driving electric vehicles over 12 years now. But nowhere on the form is there an opportunity to get a reading of the number of EVs in the country at this important and crucial time for serious climate change on our planet. Why? Asked Joe in Dublin.
Because nobody in the public consultation said that they wanted a question on it.
And this is sort of serious. Is that a flaw then in the process? Should you, as the CSO, not preempt changes? Do you see what I'm saying? Because if sometimes when you ask people their opinion on something, they may not have it, but that doesn't mean that it's not of a concern for the people who plan.
Well, we do. Lots of the people in the Central Statistics Office would put in submissions as well for things that they think they are needed. But as I said to you, not everything is necessarily needs a census question to be asked of everyone in the country. You can get the answers you want maybe from surveys or samples through admin data.
Car sales or whatever. Okay, right. That's how can the time capsule be confidential if the census is returned as an open document to the person at the door? I would like to write a very confidential story on mine that I would like to be read in the future. However, I would not want the census collector reading it as they leave my home and before they return the forms to the census office. Teresa, that is a concern, isn't it?
All the enumerators are officers of statistics and all the data that they collect is totally confidential. They don't read all the forms. They don't have time to read 2.2 million forms.
But they're human as well as all
they're
those things.
They're human as well.
Yes, yeah.
If you have any concern, you can see on the front of the form, there's an address, the Central Statistics Office PO Box 2021.
So you can
because
post
we
it.
Had it printed, free post it back to our office in Swords in an envelope.
Result, Teresa. And just hope that the person who opens it isn't nosy. No, I'm joking. But that is a concern, I suppose. Once it's written down, it's there, it's open. It's not that it's been sealed for 100 years. It is going through a process of being scanned and all that sort of thing.
Yes.
And it might pique somebody's attention and they may read it. But at that stage, it will be anonymous enough, will it?
Yes.
It will.
Once the forms come back, they're guillotined and separated and scanned. And
that's important.
Yes.
So the guillotining makes them anonymous.
They're scanned as they are,
so
as you see it. But then if anyone needs to look at the form after that, they're looking at a digital image and they're only looking at the areas of the form that they need to look at to make decisions.
Right. I'm putting my census form that the Dubs were the greatest football team of all time, no question. There, they see that's, it can be fun as well. Love, love, I've loved the census. I've traced my ancestors right back to the 1800s. So interesting, says that person. And my plan for census 2022 is to leave a treasure map with the coordinates being recorded in the census. I ordered a time capsule from the internet to be buried with mementos for future generations with photos and old stuff and stories from all the family members.
Wow, isn't that great?
That's brilliant. That's a lot of effort. For the time capsule part, I think I'd include the current cost of regular things we eat and drink, bread, milk, eggs, etc. A bit of boring but interesting for future generations, the cost of a flight somewhere too, and the price of fuel. Maybe in the future, fuel will be totally free. That sort of information would be available somewhere else.
Yeah, but I mean, can you imagine in 1901 and 1911 census forms, if we could see a little bit, a snapshot of what their life had been like, or what messages, what would they have predicted life would be like in Ireland in 2022?
Maybe
people want to predict what it's going to be like in 21, 22 and see if it comes true.
Yeah, or maybe the mundane is probably the thing, isn't it? The mundane is probably interesting. Like if I've just had a non-alcoholic beer and a packet of crisps. Or maybe not, maybe not. I love filling it out this year. After nearly 30 years, I get to change my education level. Chuffed with myself. I'll probably put that information in the time capsule too. I was the first of my family to do it, and I've got adult children now. So that person obviously got a qualification since 2016, maybe a degree. So they're up at number 9 in the thing.
Yep.
For those of us who haven't returned to the office yet after COVID, should we answer with the time we used to leave work before COVID? Oh, you see that? Yeah. No, it's now,
no,
isn't it?
No.
Now. It's all
on
about
the 3rd
now. It's
of
all
April.
About the now.
Yes.
It's all about the now, yeah.
And just to make sure that people are aware that Census Night is Sunday, the 3rd of April.
Yes.
So wherever you spend the night of Sunday, the 3rd of April, that's where you fill in your form, because there is no date on the form. I don't know if you noticed that the first.
One of our listeners did, yes.
Yes.
Why is there no date on it? Yes. Why
because
is that?
We were busy starting to print all the forms in March 2020. When a certain COVID-19 came along,
spoiled the party.
We had to stop printing, and we didn't quite know when the census would be. So, but we needed to print the forms, otherwise we wouldn't be able to get through the rest of the stages. So we decided to print with no date.
So that's why there's
tell
no date.
Tell everyone that
okay,
it's Sunday the 3rd of April.
Eileen, thank you very much and good luck. I can see the anticipation written across your face. It's so exciting, so exciting. So April 3rd, census night. Enjoy it and have fun with that gap, that big space on page 23.
Yes.
Don't overthink it, I think, is the thing, isn't it?
Yes,
yeah,
don't overthink it.
Don't
and
overthink
census.
It.
Census.ie for information on anything census.
Thanks, Eileen.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Somebody says, just give a description of your day. Snapshot of a day in your life. That's mundane, isn't it? April 3rd, 2022, and people in 100 years' time will be reading that and fascinated by it, although it may not seem fascinating at the time of recording. Now, child and adolescent psychotherapist Dr. Coleman Nochter joins us now. He's in a booth down the corridor. How are you doing, Coleman?
I'm good, thanks, Ray. I'm living out my Fraser Crane fantasy down here. It's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. You have your own late-night talk show there. Giving advice to people. But that's what you're here for, to give advice to people. Okay, so we've lots to get through now and very little time, but I'll tell you what I'll do. We'll do a couple, I'll go to an ad break, and then I'll talk to you after the ad break as well, and maybe the people in Newark will give us a couple of extra minutes. Now, dear Coleman, our 7-year-old girl has recently started worrying about things. It started off a few weeks ago that she was worried going anywhere in case she needed to go to the toilet, but has gotten worse lately. She's crying going to bed, saying she has worries in her head, and cries when she gets up, saying she doesn't want to go to school because she doesn't like doing the school work. She says she cries at school with a pain, can't stop crying. We've tried talking to her about it and tried to see was there anything happening at school, but there doesn't seem to be. We contacted the school and they were keeping an eye on her and said, as everything seems to be fine, is just a phase that children go through, or is there more to it? What do you think?
Again, this is not something that you would have, it didn't come with COVID, but I'm seeing this tenfold in terms of in the last couple of years. And this is kind of anxiety about just the idea of change is so difficult for children, and so many things are changing at the moment for them. I think they're really struggling with that. Any sort of issue with kind of pains or saying I'm crying in school, and when you investigate it, that there's no evidence of that in school, the child is just saying, you know, I'm really struggling. They're not lying from the point of view of trying to manipulate you, but they're maybe trying to say, look, it's harder than you might think it is. So from that point of view, I mean, again, it's just trying to get predictability, consistency and routine back into this child's life. I genuinely think, you know, obviously lots of support, trying to get her back into some sort of a rhythm. A child who's lost their rhythm will feel exactly like that. They'll feel lost and they'll want to make sure that you're looking at them and visible. And the pain, the crying, those sort of reports are a way of kind of securing your visibility and the visibility of the teachers. I would ask in the school if they can offer her a little bit of support, checking in with her during the day just to see if there's a little valve that she might be able to get something off her chest as she's going through it. But with this, it's time. And again, you know, probably a bigger issue. I just think children I'm seeing now are kind of, they're just braced for the next disaster. Do you know what I mean? They've had COVID, then they've kind of global conflicts, and it's like a Netflix dystopian series. You know, the way they, and they've had more unprecedented time than they've had precedented time
in their short lives. But these are the people who are coming to you, so they do have a problem, if you know what I mean. So they're not the majority of people.
No, but I suppose the number of people looking to come to me is a lot
has
more
increased.
Than,
yes, just the other thing is just COVID and Ukraine aside, that there are phases, aren't there, that children go through, and one of those phases is this sort of uncertainty with life and death and all those things.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of rites of passage. Where, yeah. And it's about permanency. It's about, are things going to change all the time, or is this going to stay the same? Uh-huh. And you might have worries about death, about sickness, about granny dying, about someone else dying. They are kind of phases. But when it kind of contaminates the school environment, and at this level, I think it's probably a little bit more than that.
Okay.
And I would be paying attention to it. But predictability, routine and consistency, I know it's boring, but it's the antidote to this stuff.
Yeah, I think for life, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It does us all good, doesn't it? A bit of routine. Listen, I'm going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll come back and we'll do more with Coleman after this.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, we're speaking to child and adolescent psychotherapist Coleman Nocter. Coleman, there's just a suggestion from one of our listeners. My daughter was very like that little girl who has worries when she was of a similar age. I bought her a dream catcher and a very attractive, colourful worry book. She began writing down her worries, no matter how silly, and it worked like magic. She still has it and reads back in her book and has a good laugh. Just a thought. There you go.
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, with a worry bucket before sleep is always good to kind of just get it out of the way before nighttime, especially if there's sleep problems. It can be something like a metaphor like that can be really useful at that age for sure.
Okay, we'll do one more and then we'll go to Nocht. Dear Coleman, I'm the lucky mother of two beautiful children, a six-year-old girl, two-year-old boy. The two-year-old is very much a mammy's boy and this suits everyone, but my six-year-old girl is obsessed with her dad and I'm finding that situation very difficult. I work longer hours than my husband. He's a very hands-on dad and a brilliant parent. He's also the softer touch in the house, less focused on teachable moments and fast and easy with treats and shortcuts. But he is brilliant at the tough jobs too, getting up in the night, tantrums, etc. He is patient and kind, and that's one of the reasons I fell for him. But the problem comes with my own connection with my daughter. She always wants him for bedtime, to get her up for nightmares when she's sick, an out-and-out daddy's girl. This is hard for my partner as she's high maintenance and we'd both like if I could help out more. She sees more of him, and as I said, he's a soft touch, so I'm struggling to break through and get her to see me as someone she can really rely on too. Is this just my stuff, or would everyone, especially my daughter, benefit from a closer relationship with me?
It's a bit of both. I mean, I think from the point of view of, this is unusual because it's usually the good cop, bad cop stuff is usually when dad kind of flies in at the end of the day when mum's had all the rough stuff and you know, the rules and all that sort of stuff, and dad comes in with the treats. Whereas dad here is kind of seems to be the one who's there a lot with this little girl. I don't see an issue with it. I think this will change over time. Children move from mum to dad, from mum to dad. But from the point of view of, again, give this little girl what she needs, not what she wants. And maybe there is a room for mum to have some more fun time with her. And maybe if that means that, you know, split the bedtimes a little bit, that dad does it some nights and she does it the other. Again, some fun time with mum at the weekends or things like that, you know, that just might let mum feel a little bit better. But it's not something I get overly, I mean, she has a very strong relationship with her dad. There's nothing wrong with that. But again, it's mum's feelings of maybe being ousted a little bit.
And bit of jealousy there as well. I'm getting really between the lines.
Yeah, there is a little bit of a sense of that. But if mum has the younger boy and he's a mammy's boy, this little girl might just need to be daddy's girl in order to even it out a little bit. And she might be doing it as much for dad as much as for herself, if that makes any sense.
I'm not qualified, but I think it'll all work out in the end.
Oh, I'd imagine so. Yes. And again, this will oscillate. You know, you'll be the favourite soon, and dad will be out in the doghouse without a doubt.
You're not quite in the doghouse. You're down in a boot down in the corridor. But thanks so much for coming in, Coleman. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Talk to you soon. Bye now. Anish Darshan and the Preskelton and Oakdale, Maura de Wallish. Good Maura. Thank you very much. 51551ray@rte.ie. We're going to have a chat with Daniel O'Donnell very shortly. But first, we have to do our quiz. Yeah, we call it Reeling in the Ears, and we've two quizzers waiting patiently and nervously on two lines. But first, I better tell you about our prize, which is a two-night stay for two people in Harvey's Point, up there in Donegal, nestled between the Bluestack Mountains and the picturesque Loch Esk. And whether you're going to explore the Wild Atlantic Way or you just want to switch off, unwind and relax, Harvey's Point is the place for you, and you can find out more at harveyspoint.com. Good afternoon, Noel Redmond.
Good afternoon, Ray.
How are things?
Grand.
You're out New Ross direction.
That's right.
Nowhere specific, just out New Ross direction.
That's right.
Yeah. Is there a name of where you are?
Place called Gusran.
Gusran?
Yeah.
Cluna Gusran.
That's right.
I've never heard of either of those places before.
Have now.
There you go. Every day's a school day, huh?
Exactly.
So are you south, north, east, west of New Ross?
South.
Right.
Yeah.
I hear they're connecting the Greenway there from Dungarvan up to New Ross.
That's right, yeah.
That'll be great, won't it? A great addition, yes, for the whole area.
There's talks of it coming from Waterford then down to, or New Ross down to Rosslare as well. So.
Right. So you'd be nearly a circle then. That'd be great.
Yeah, it'd be brilliant, yeah.
Looking forward to that. What are you up to today, Noel?
I'm spreading fertiliser.
Right. Is that a big job?
Not a big job, but very expensive.
Right. Does it involve a tractor?
That's right. I'm sitting on it here now.
Right.
In the middle of a field.
And what contraption do you have on the back of the tractor?
Spreader.
There you go. Exactly what it says on the tin.
Exactly. Myself and Charlie's asleep looking at me wondering what I'm doing here, why I'm not going.
I presume he's a dog.
He's a dog, fast asleep.
Right, and is he up on the cab with you?
He is, in front of the steering wheel. No bother on him.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah.
And how old is Charlie?
Charlie is 2-year-old, yeah.
Yeah. Nice. It's nice to have a bit of company, isn't it?
It is, it is, yeah.
Who's at home when you go home?
Nobody, probably. My wife is at home, Mary, and the daughter lives with me as well.
Right.
And some of the lads are close by as well.
So you have four children?
Four children, yeah.
And one daughter still living at home. The rest of them have flown the coop or whatever.
Yeah.
Right, okay. How are you on the quizzes?
Brilliant when I'm listening to somebody else.
Yeah, there you go. It's always the same, isn't it? You're up against Gobnet Leeson, Gigi from Macroom. How are you doing, Gobnet?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Good to talk to you.
Good, and lovely to talk to you, finally.
You don't meet a lot of Gobnets anymore.
No, I suppose you don't, but it's a common name down this direction.
Is it?
Yes, it's the Irish for Abbey.
That was my next question. Is there so it's
there's
Abbey.
The St. Abbey in Ballyvourney.
Aha.
On the road to Killarney.
Right. And is it, can you have a male and a female governor? Or just female governor?
I believe it's only a female.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
It was a name made famous by Frank Kelly, wasn't it?
That's right, yes. The 12 Days of Christmas is
yes,
that, I think.
One of his characters is called governor. Yeah. So I think.
So I'm famous.
Yeah, you're famous. There you go. Yeah. You're a Macroom born and bred. What do you call people from Macroom? We were doing this today. And what do you call people from Macroom?
Macrompians.
You do not? I've never heard it before.
Macrompian.
Macrompian.
That's right. Yeah, that's it.
Macrompian. Macrompians. Macrompian.
That's it.
Right.
Spot on.
Not widely used because I've never heard it, but there you go. But you are a Macrompian.
I am indeed.
Right.
Absolutely.
And you're a Gusaranian, Noel. Just for your information. Yeah. Gusaranian,
exactly.
Who's at home, Gobnet?
My husband, Owen.
Right. And there's a connection with Harvey's Point, is it?
We went to Harvey's Point 10, 12 years ago for a wedding. Most beautiful place.
Isn't it lovely up there? Yeah, lovely up there. Yeah, yeah.
Stunning, yeah.
It's a nice prize. Okay.
Absolutely.
You know the deal. Three clips each, Noel and Gobnet. If you go for a long clip, you get a point. Go for a shorter clip, it's more difficult. You get 2 points, and whoever has the most points wins the prize. If it's a draw on points, we go to a tie-break situation. So good luck to you both. Here we go.
Okay. Good luck, Noel.
Good luck,
Gobnet. Okay, Noel, to you first. Here we go. The year is 1993. And the first question is about the movies. So do you want to go long or short?
Try short.
Okay, this Irish film following the Corley family was released in 1985. Can you name it for 2 points? Here we go.
You better watch yourself. You'll find yourself packing your belongings, your shampoo and your spots creams. Is that clear?
An Irish film following the Corley family.
Would it be Veronica De Guerin?
No. The Snapper. That was Colm Meaney, I heard there. The Snapper we were looking for. Okay, early days. Now, Gobnet, 1993, still at the movies. Do you want to go long or short? You're going to go short as well. Okay. This science fiction action film directed by Steven Spielberg was released in 1993. Can you name it? Here is your clip for 2 points.
The park will open with the basic tour you're about to take, and then other rides will come online.
Oh, not a hope. I wouldn't have a clue, really.
No.
No.
Yeah, he's talking about a park, and the park in question is Jurassic Park.
Ah, okay. Right.
So
okay.
An even start. No points on the board. We're on to question number two. Let's hope you do better this time. Noel, it's music from 1993. Short or long?
Try short again.
Okay, this song was number one in the charts 1993. The Irish charts in particular. Name a song or name the singer. Here we go. I never saw
before. You're right.
That's it.
You walked in the bank.
You don't need that. You just name a song will do me. In Your Eyes is the name of a song. Niamh Cavanagh is the girl who used to work in the bank. Yeah, you get 2 points for that. Well done. You were nearly singing it there for us, Noel. I thought we were going to get a treat. Okay. Gobnet.
Yes.
1993 music, short or long?
We'll go short.
Go short, okay. This song topped the Irish charts in 1993. The song, we need the name of the song or the name of the singer. Here we go. No one else can save me now but you.
Meatloaf?
Yes, Meatloaf, who died recently. I do anything for love, Gobnet, but I won't do that. There you go. Two points. So it's 2-2, and it's down to question number 3 now, down to the wire. So, Noel, we're moving on to current affairs and the news from 1993. Do you want to go short or long?
Go short again, Ray.
Go short again. Okay. In 1993, Dawson Stelfox from County Antrim became the first Irish person to summit this major peak. Can you name the mountain? And here is your clip for 2 points.
Previously, when I've been in Nepal, it felt Earth tremors. I mean, it's a very geologically active country and they live with.
Mount Everest.
Mount Everest, correct answer. Yes, 2 points for that. You can't do any more. You're on 4. Now, Gobnet, you sort of have to go for a short one, don't you?
Yeah, I will indeed.
Okay, still in the news from 1993. And your question, this TD became the first Minister for Art, Culture and Broadcasting. Can you name him? Listen carefully. Here we go.
It's wonderful. You can always rely on the people of Galway anyway for the generous gesture.
Is that Michael D. Higgins?
It is Michael D. Higgins. Good. Yes, he was sort of competing with the drums there, but you got it and you're right. And so it's 4-4. Well done to you both.
Thank you.
After a slow start, you got up to your rhythm there. So it means that we're drawn on points. So we go to the tie-break question. Now, we asked you this question before you went on air. I'm going to repeat it for our listeners, and whoever guesses closest to the correct answer is our winner today. So according to Google Maps, how long would it take you to drive from Mizzenhead in County Cork to Malinhead in County Donegal, from the southernmost tip to the northernmost tip? Your guess, Noel?
6¾ hours, I think.
6 hours and 45 minutes is what you said. It's 600 kilometres. And your guess, Gobnet?
Was, I think, 7 hours 40.
Yes, what you said, 7 hours 40 minutes. The correct answer is 8 hours and 12 minutes, which means, Gobnet, you're today's winner. Hard luck, Noel.
All right.
Listen, great talking to you.
Sorry, Noel.
Thanks a lot, Gobnet. Enjoy it.
I will. Thank you.
Isn't that lovely that government's apologising for winning all? But we're going to send you out a couple of Radar Show mugs, one for you and one for Charlie the dog. Okay. thanks, Noel. Mind yourself. Good luck with the. He's spreading fertiliser there down in Clunagh. Well done, Goblet.
Thanks, Ray.
Going back to Harvey's point, you and a person of your choice, who would imagine his own, a two-night stay for the Tui, and you can relax or you can go off and explore the surroundings, and you can find out more at harvyspoint.com.
Brilliant.
Well done, Goblet. Lovely talking to you. Bye now.
Bye. 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 Take care.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now we're going to be speaking to Daniel O'Donnell in a moment, but first, this will put a smile on your face. Sing along there, Daniel. How are you doing, Daniel O'Donnell?
I'm great. How are you doing, Ray?
Great to talk to you. Good afternoon.
Thank you.
Are you in good form?
I'm fine. Yes, I'm great. Thank you.
And probably looking forward to getting back to your Irish fans for the first time in a long time.
Yeah. We're looking forward to going back now on the road to Killarney, of course. It was supposed to be in 2020 and then it was back to 21. So finally now, third time lucky, we're going to be there in August. And really, it'll be great. You know, we have done shows in the UK and we did some in America, but it'll be lovely to get out at home again too.
Would you be a regular in Branson in America?
Yeah, we were there last November. And we're going again this November.
Will you tell people about Branson? Because we had one of the Osmonds on, and I watched a documentary with them, and I think three or four of the brothers are regulars in Branson. Tell people about Branson.
Well, Branson is a town in the Midwest of America. It's down and it's near Arkansas, but it's in Missouri. It's not far from the Arkansas border. Mm. And it's kind of like Las Vegas without the gambling.
Right.
Whereas you have a lot of theatres and people, instead of the shows touring, the people come to the shows. So the buses come from all over America and indeed Canada, and people come from other parts too. And we go there, we'll be there for 13 shows in November. We did 13 in November past as well. We're at the Welk Theatre. And it's amazing, really. You know, we've been going there since 1997. And when we first went, you know, the Osmonds were there. And some of them still do shows
there.
I mean, Andy Williams, may he rest, he was a big star at that time.
He had his own theatre there, didn't he? Yeah.
He had his own theatre, yes. And I met Andy a few times. He was a lovely man. And he performed right up until the year before he passed away. He got sick and passed away, you know, with not a very long illness, but he was performing right up into his 80s. So there was a lot of people at that time that, you know, were resident there. But still, there's a number of shows. And
Daniel, are we talking about, how many theatres are there? 20, 30?
Oh, Lord, there must be 20. Yeah, there must be 20, yeah.
And the shows,
strip,
and
you know.
Oh, there's a strip, right, go on.
There's a strip and then there's outlying theatres. The Welk Theatre where we are is maybe it's 2 miles outside the strip, you know.
Mm.
It's called Highway 76 and that's the main drag of it. And as well as the theatres, you know, they have a wax museum and Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Right,
and,
yeah.
You know, and then, I mean, they have different periods of the year. They have a place called Silver Dollar City then that's about maybe a half an hour from Branson. And that's like an amusement place and they have shows on there. And then at Christmas time, they light up the whole park with all lights. And all of the theatres, you know, they have a big Christmas
theme,
sort of thing as well.
It
starts in November. Now, we don't always do Christmas when we go there. We did a few years ago, we did a Christmas show. But the people that are coming to see us kind of want to see what we do on the TV shows. We had, you know, from about 2002, we've had shows periodically on public television. But every Saturday night now, we have a show on RFD TV. And people want to see kind of what we do on that.
Yeah.
So it's not always Christmas
It's a brilliant place, though. It's a brilliant place, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Yeah. It is, yeah, definitely. I mean, it would be great to have the like of it here.
Wouldn't be the population, Daniel.
Well, I suppose, but you're listening, people who travel. It's like the Field of Dreams building, and they will come.
There you go. There you go. King Castle, the Branson of Ireland. There you go. I can see the billboard now. So Magella was on the telly the other night with Dermot Bannon.
She was.
And you got a bit of a roasting, did you? A bit like they were slagging you off a little bit.
Yeah. I didn't really. I mean, I came out all right in the end, because I got to keep my wardrobe, that they were going to throw out. That was perfectly good. And every time I open them, I say to myself, well, now it wouldn't have been a shame to throw them out. I got me extra ensuite, But and it didn't cost $150,000 that they were making out it was costing in that wee clip. You know, what kind of toilet would that be? You'd be depositing gold in it.
If we could do that, we could all retire. So every time you open those wardrobes, you think of Dermot Bannon.
I do. Yeah. I do. Yes. And I smile.
Yes. Yeah. He has that effect on a lot of people. Yeah.
I know. He was great. We have a beautiful home, thanks to Dermot and indeed all the builders and workers who did it. Dorian's, was the main builder, and, the people that did everything, the kitchen people, and the electricians, Paul Rose is a go-to man up at home, and, so many people were responsible for doing it, and we couldn't wish for any more.
I'm just reading about you there. You seem to have a lovely work-life balance. You're getting to do what you love to do, and you're spending a lot of time with Magella and the three grandchildren as well.
I am. I'm sitting here now, and Archie is keeping as quiet as he can. He's here beside me.
Hi, Archie.
Archie's a great boy. And I'm very fortunate. The last few years I kept talking, and people I think were fed up with me saying, oh, I'm going to cut down. But not because of COVID, but I suppose COVID gave us a chance to see how we would be if we were doing nothing. And for me, I love the time off. I also love the shows. So when we go back on the road now, I mean, periodically I do little things, I'll do maybe a charity show now and again, but outside the touring schedule, but I'm going to start in August and we'll go until November, and then that'll be me until probably May.
That's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, great. I mean, I'm very lucky. Now, we were looking at doing Australia next February, but they feel it would be better to wait a wee bit. So, it's a great length of time off, December, January, February, March, April.
When you were talking about Andy Williams there, I could hear in your voice that maybe that's what you want to be doing, performing up until the end.
Archie's going to hoover the floor now. Well, I don't know. I suppose I enjoy the shows, and I suppose now that I'm kind of have made that decision that I won't, be going all the time. I'm lucky, that I can just choose to do a bit less and still be out there, I do enjoy it. I mean, it's just fantastic. I get up, wherever it might be. We were in Patrick's Day, we were in Tenerife, and we were in the Hole in the Wall, and we were an Irish fiddler, and I sang twice in the Hole in the Wall in the afternoon and evening, and I sang in the fiddler in the afternoon, and we had a great time.
Yeah.
So, it doesn't have to be the Albert Hall for me. It's the people and the atmosphere that make it, And, looking forward to Killarney now, because,
Tell them, I better tell them the dates again. So it's, so the Irish Tour dates, Thursday, 25th of August, 2022, Friday, 26th, 27th, 28th, all in the INEC.
The dates, like a lot of people have their tickets got, they're nearly antiques now, they have them 2 years. Yeah. And the ticket that you have for the Thursday is valid for the Thursday, and the seat you have is your seat. you know, that we're obviously with all the change, and there's some returns that are good seats that are available for, you know, most nights if people want to check now. Yes. For availability of tickets. So there are good tickets available for the shows. But the people that have their tickets, they just go on the night, on the day. It's a different date, obviously.
Yes.
But on the day, if your tickets is Thursday...
You go on Thursday. Fine. Listen, yeah. Well, I have you. We're running out of time. Any more TV projects for yourself and Magella? Are you taking to a camper van or anything?
No, we didn't really think about it, or nobody has said anything to us. Maybe... we might, I suppose, if somebody asked us, and we would enjoy it. Every day that we're out, somebody asks us, will we do another B&B road?
So yes.
That seems to be the most popular one, you know, to go around and, you know, have the bit of fun. So, you never know, we might.
The reaction you got was amazing.
Absolutely. People just... ask us. I'm not telling a word of a lie. It's either that or will I fix their boiler? One or the other. So I think I'd be better going on the road with the B&B.
And listen, Danny, you should know better because you're not accredited.
This is it, you know.
Well,
I'm still waiting on the cake from Mary's. You never give it.
I'll let you go back to Archie. Thanks so much, Daniel, for taking time out.
Mind
yourself. See you now. Bye bye. And say hello to Magella first. That's it. Cormac is on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.